right, good evening, Navy by Nature supporters. Julian Burton here. I have Gray Player across the World Wide Web from me. Why don't you go ahead and tell everyone hello, Gray?
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening.
That's Gray Player for you guys. So, we have a great show tonight. We are both extremely excited. We are going to continue along the path that we started last week. We're going to do a little bit of Bachelorette talk, really discuss kind of the depths of what Emily is thinking.
It was a big episode
this week, and we're also going to talk about some of the dramatic events that occurred in Euro 2012. Right after this, a message from our sponsor, Sleepy Time Tea.
You know, Julian, I get hundreds of emails every week from listeners that are telling me that they just can't fall asleep the night before a new podcast because they're too excited with the anticipation.
Gray, I'm glad you brought that up. Pre-podcast insomnia is a serious medical condition and often goes unmentioned at regular checkups. And let's face it, there's nothing worse than not getting a good night's sleep and having to slug through the next day at work.
I'm sure there are prescriptions and over-the-counter medicinal sleep aids out there, but they can take weeks to begin working and often contain very addictive substances.
Yeah, and that old wives' tale that reading before bed helps you sleep was disproved by scientists years ago. It's been shown that daily exercise can actually make it harder to fall asleep by increasing the levels of adrenaline and other hormones in the body.
Folks, the good news is that there's a simple, all-natural solution to pre-podcast insomnia, and it's right in front of your nose. Or lips, should I say.
That's right. We're talking about Sleepy Time Tea. For years, Sleepy Time Tea has been helping the world unwind with a beloved blend of chamomile, spearmint, West Indian lemongrass, tilia flowers, blackberry leaves, orange blossoms, hawthorn, and rosebuds. Gray, I'm getting dozy just thinking about it.
Me too, big guy. So folks, next time you're having difficulty heading off to dreamland, remember our good friend the Sleepy Time Bear, and let him help you hit the hibernate button on a long day. And don't forget to try all the specialty lines of Sleepy Time Tea, including Sleepy Time Extra Wellness Tea, Sleepy Time Decaf Lemon Jasmine Green Tea, Sleepy Time Sinus Soother Tea, Sleepy Time Throat Tamer Tea, and of course Julian's favorite, Sleepy Time Vanilla Herbal Tea.
Oh, I do love that Vanilla Herbal Tea.
I know you do.
I tell you what, I just can't get enough.
Sleepy Time Tea, helping the world unwind since 1969. I've been doing the Decaf Lemon Jasmine Green Tea.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you again to Sleepy Time Tea. They have been extremely supportive of us. We actually got to see a little bit of a tour of their tea brewery. We got to see a little bit how they make the tea, where they get the ingredients, and it is truly enlightening to see how much they pour into their tea and their view on life in general. So we really want to thank them for their support and really what they do. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Gray to really kind of introduce what we're going to talk about tonight.
All right. So first of all, let me just clarify for the ladies and gentlemen out there that we've got a little bit of a delay, as is, just part of the restrictions of recording a podcast from two distinct locations, Raleigh Studio, Tallahassee Studio, and that's just a part of it, so excuse us for that. So this week was big. I enjoyed watching about 75% of this episode, and that's big for me, because I usually don't enjoy watching most of it, or parts of it, this season especially. But I think it's starting to get to the point where it's going to get really exciting. So, this episode starts off, and we are in Dubrovnik, Croatia, which is just a wonderful setting. First comment from Emily is Croatia's like going back in time. And I think that's probably just because they just are like 30 years behind the rest of the world. Like, they maybe just like had electricity installed yesterday or something. So, it seems like, you know, going back in time, sure. You know, like, they don't have the internet there yet, but they will. So, anyway, it's a good spot to fall in love when you're back in time, going back in time. So, let's see. I guess the first thing we'll talk about is the first one-on-one date. Just a quick recap. It's with Travis, the guy that I thought was gay. And
Gray made it. Let's just go back and say that Gray made it very clear that he thought that Travis was gay.
I still do, and I still do. I think that. To recap the episode, they go on this date, they walk around, they have a good time. Travis is like, "Oh yeah, girl, let's go in that store. Oh, yeah, that's fun." And Emily, unfortunately, just does not see a romantic connection there because he's gay, and therefore decides to send him home. And Travis, I fast-forwarded through Travis's comments. I was like, I don't really care what this guy's got to say.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be upset. Was he upset? I don't even know.
No, I mean, he played it fairly cool and reasonably, just kind of saying, like, you know, he didn't take it like, I'm a loser, I'm a retard, I'm no one that deserves to be with anyone. He was just kind of like, you know, there's someone out there for me. You know, I hope there's someone out there for me. It wasn't Emily. Kind of that route. You know, like, not just completely self-deprecating, but at the same time disappointed. Somewhere in the middle, where it's kind of where you want to see someone when they get kicked off at the Bachelor or Bachelorette. Like, yeah, that sucks, but I also don't necessarily think that I'm going to, you know, my life is ruined.
Sure. Somewhere in the middle. Sure, yeah. No, I understand that. I will note that on that portion of the date, Emily specifically mentions how comfortable she feels around him and how she feels like she can just let loose and do anything and just be silly and just, you know, be yourself. And I'm like, God, this is her gay friend.
Right.
It's her gay friend. She's like going, and they went shopping to some degree. So anyway,
I understand why you think he's gay, and I think it's good for the discussion, but I don't think Travis was gay.
Sure. Fine.
I'm just going to say
and
that.
I don't fault you. I don't fault you for that. I don't think that it, you know, I don't fault you for not thinking he's gay. Okay. I think you're wrong, but I don't fault you for not thinking he's gay.
Okay.
And last week we thought Travis and the wolf were going out.
John.
So we got one. All right, we got one. Oh. All right.
We did get one.
Then the next thing is the group date, right?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I got to ask you, do you think that these countries, like, tourism departments pay to be a part of The Bachelor? Because I'm just like, why are they in Croatia? Like,
it's a good question.
Did they pony up the dough? And the reason why I ask it is because during the group date, which happens next, I think, the group date's next. You know, there's huge product placement for Disney Pixar's instant classic Brave. Coming to theater soon. Don't miss it, folks. It's going to be wonderful. So anyway, we've already got a lot of product placement in this episode. It got me thinking, like, man, I wonder if these countries are like, you know, if there's like a bidding war before the season for them to get on The Bachelor.
Well, it certainly makes you think that there might be, but it was a little strange because certainly Croatia has no part in the bidding war for whether or not Brave gets put in their episode.
I don't think the two are connected.
No, I agree, but you're probably right. If Brave can have that much pull and get their movie, like a Pixar movie, that, you know, that central for an episode, you'd think that the country of Croatia probably has some pull as well. So
sure.
I don't think you're wrong in asking the questions. I don't think either of us can really get the answers.
We can't know for sure,
but I think it's a very legitimate question to ask. And so I will praise you for asking that question.
But and last season it was Honda. You know, they had a lot of Honda. It was the CRV,
The Leap List.
Yeah. And, but they're just, you know, they're all like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how lucky I am. I get to be in Croatia with the most beautiful woman in the world watching Disney Pixar.
Okay, cut. No, let's say Croatia and Brave with a little more emphasis this time, Gray. Let's say it with a little more emphasis this time, and then we'll put it in the show.
Exactly. Look, I'm sorry. Just don't give me a little less Disney Pixar's Brave, and give me Disney Pixar's Brave. Coming to theaters November 21st, 2012.
What? We get to go to Croatia? I've always wanted to go to Croatia. Cut. No, that wasn't quite right. A little more on Croatia.
You need to mention that it's a twist back in time, because that goes with our marketing scheme that we're with back, you know, right now.
It has to seem really medieval, because that goes along with Brave.
Seriously, I can't work with these people. Okay? Disney Pixar's Brave, people. Okay? It's easy. In theaters this fall. Watch for it.
Right.
Disney Pixar's instant classic, the next great animation, Brave. Right. That's what I want you to say. So, but it's like four cuts in a row of the guys being like, yeah, this is going to be really cool. We get to see Disney Pixar's Brave coming to theaters fall 2012. And then they're like, I can't believe how lucky I am to be in Croatia seeing Disney Pixar's Brave. And, I don't know. Okay, so anyway,
I'm with you.
Did it make you want to see the movie?
I'm a Pixar fan, so to be honest, I wanted to see Brave regardless, but it did seem...
Did it make you want to see it more?
No, I wouldn't say that it may want... I mean, if I'm being completely honest, no, it didn't make me want to see it more, but I would think as a neutral supporter, if you will...
Yeah.
As someone who didn't necessarily know a lot about the movie and wasn't someone who would definitely see every Pixar movie as I would be.
Right, right.
That might kind of encourage them.
So I certainly felt more educated about the movie.
I'll end my commentary
with that.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, the other thing is, like, let's think about the target audience for The Bachelorette.
Who is the target audience?
Who I think is? Maybe like 18 to 40 year old women. And are you really trying to get, like, do you think like a bunch of like 18 year old girls who are watching The Bachelorette are like, hey, let's all get together and go see Brave, because that looked really cool.
Here's the question. Who are they getting to go see Brave?
I don't think they are. I think it's bad product placement. That's what I'm
saying. So you think that was wrong. Not from their point of view, that was a bad business move to try and place Brave as kind of their go-to.
I think Disney wasted and Pixar wasted a ton of marketing dollars.
So here's a question I have: of those 18 to 40 year old women, how many of them have 7 to 13 year old daughters or even sons?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, are they going to be like, hey, that looks kind of interesting, maybe I'll take my daughter to see it, who was probably going to ask to see it anyway? I don't know, man.
This is a quick aside. I'm just going to throw this out there. I worked as a counselor for the track out camps a couple of years ago, and honestly, parents of kids, they will watch every single movie that comes out for kids that's out in theaters or on DVD,
right.
No matter what.
Right.
Every single one of them will be watched by their family. So right, you so don't even have this. To market it. You don't have to market it.
No, that's what I mean. It's a waste of dollars.
You're right. You know what? After I made my point, you're right.
Okay, let's talk about 18 to 30-year-old women that don't have kids.
Right.
How many of them are going out on a girls' night and seeing Disney Pixar's instant classic Brave coming to theaters this fall, 2012?
None that wouldn't have seen it otherwise.
None.
Right. There are some that would have seen it regardless.
Zero value. Right. Zero value for this product placement. And I'm not thrashing Disney Pixar's Brave coming to theaters this fall. What I'm doing is just saying that I think it was a poor choice of marketing dollars. Okay?
And to be honest, I'm a big Rotten Tomatoes follower, and I'm going to say, as of right now, Brave doesn't have a super high fresh score. That's all I'm gonna say. All
right.
We don't. Navy by Nature doesn't really. That's not our goal. Is to rate movies. So,
right.
You know, don't take that as you will.
We can make it our goal.
We're not. That's not our goal right now. Take it as you will.
Okay.
But right now, Brave isn't supposed to be the most amazing Pixar movie ever made.
Let's segue. From Disney Pixar's instant classic Brave coming to theaters this fall into a contest of bravery and feats of strength that occurs in the group date right after that. The guys come out, they have to wear kilts, and they all have tight shirts on except for Ari. He has a baggy cutoff shirt on. For I don't know why his is baggier than everyone else's, but they come out.
I don't know why you noticed that. That's the other thing.
Because everyone else's is super, like, skin tight. I'm like, all right. And then Ari's is, like, baggy. It looks like he got, like, an extra, like, sweatshirt and cut the sleeves off. And I pay attention to Ari because I like him. And I think he's the front runner.
Yeah.
So I pay attention to Ari.
Okay.
So anyway, and they're riding donkeys, and we find out that in Croatia, it's customary for men to ride donkeys into battle. And I'm thinking right now, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, Croatia's going to lose a lot of battles.
Croatia's been in. Right, right. Like, you're up on a hill, you're up on a hill, you got your drummers drumming, you got guys on horses, you got archers, and you see these guys just kind of like trotting around a corner on a bunch of donkeys. And they're like, just meh, meh, meh. I mean,
well, great. The thing is, they have really good footing when it's very hilly. That's the thing about donkeys.
So if you're fighting on rocky terrain, you want to be riding a donkey into battle.
That's what I'm saying.
And maybe that's it. Element of surprise. Maybe it's the element of surprise. Maybe they then get their foe to underestimate them, be cocky, and go into battle. Not with their full, you know, concentration there. And they're on this rocky terrain, and then the donkey comes into play.
It's just like, I understand the donkey kind of very deftly handling a rocky terrain. However, it's hard for me to see them really charging at any point and really causing concern to the enemy. That's kind of where it kind of baffles me.
Minus no intimidation. We got no intimidation, we got no speed, okay? But we do have stability.
Yes, very stable.
Okay. So, yeah. So this is like a...
So anyways, the guys are riding on donkeys.
This is like a wagon. This is like a red wagon.
This is Oregon Trail. This is Oregon Trail right now.
Yeah, versus like a car. Okay. Anyway, what did you think about the contest? The feats of Highland Games strength.
No, I mean, I loved the contest, except for the part that it was strange that they were doing a Scottish, like, truly Scottish contest in Croatia.
Yeah.
Like, very, very culturally separate. It was strange to me they were doing that.
Maybe Croatia's done a lot of search engine work, and they're finding that people that are looking for vacations are often considering Scotland alongside of Croatia, and so they wanted to take that away from Scotland. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, if you want to get into the business marketing end of The Bachelorette, maybe, but, like, it was strange to me that they were combining Scotland and Croatia.
Yeah. Well,
very strange to me.
We can't know how traditional those activities are for Croatians. I haven't done the research.
Well, they're definitely not. I think we can know that they're not traditional for Croatians. I think that's fair.
I can't say that in all confidence. I can say that that is traditional.
No, I can say that in confidence. Croatians do not play Highland games.
Highland games. You've done the research.
I would be confident that my research would back up my initial thought.
Okay.
I would bet a lot of money that my research would back up.
Craig, look that up. Look that up and get back to us.
Do Croatians play the Scottish Highland games?
Croatian traditional activities. Just Wikipedia. All right, so Craig's going to get on that. And while he does that, we're going to talk about the physical battle itself. I mean, it was really kind of not that exciting. Oh, the bow and arrow thing, right?
Yeah.
Those guys were not shooting the bow and arrows.
They were what?
They were not shooting those arrows.
You don't think so? They were really accurate, like, right? Okay, no, I'm glad you kind of said that. Really accurate.
Be like the guy. Yeah, I was like, holy smokes, these guys are burning it up, man. Like, is this the U.S. archery team?
Right.
Like, they've got, like, they're, unless they were much closer than we thought, but, like, they're all showing them, like, bow, like, bowed back, arrow, like, intense face, and then they show the target, and then they show the arrow going in the middle. And I'm like, come on.
Here's the thing. I've done archery once at like a camp when I was in England, and like, this is real basic archery, but like, if you do it, like, you know, close to 7 or 8 times, you kind of get the hang of it to the point where you can probably hit the target. You're not good.
Yeah, but not on the... These guys are coming off the bench cold.
Right. They were acting like this was the first arrow that they shot. Like, and that's what makes it seem like it's not real.
Okay. So it's either good editing and they had multiple shots, or they were just like, all right, cut. This guy who's an archer, come in and shoot this sucker towards
right.
the target.
I mean, I don't think they were that far away. And if they were to have 5 or 6 shots prior to the shot they filmed, I would accept it. It just takes you a little bit to get the hang of it. That's all. And then you kind of, then you can probably at least hit the target.
Right. So. Okay. So the night portion of the group date, everybody kind of gets their alone time. There's 2 people that I want to talk about in particular. Number 1 is Ari, who takes her on the long walk through the streets of Croatia, and then just goes in for the wall kiss.
Yeah, the wall kiss.
Against the wall kiss.
It's kind of the slam up against the wall kiss.
Well, I mean, it looked gentler than that, but I think it was a strong move. If by slam you mean a slam dunk, then yes, I think it was. I think that he kind of asserted that, you know, he's in it for Emily. He's in it to win it. And he's got some skill, man. I mean, like that was smooth. It was strong, and you know, reaffirmed, which he needs to do in every instance that they spend time together, you know, like, that there's a physical connection there, an emotional connection there. You know, he's, like, he's a really nice guy, and he's, like, really sensitive to her needs and stuff, but he also comes strong, which is, you know, I think, yeah. So, anyway, and then Jeff, when they get some alone time on the beach, Jeff admits that he's really into Emily. He admits that he's crazy about her. I said last week that I thought Jeff was going to pull out of the competition because he didn't like her that much. You remember? I said that I didn't.
I definitely remember that.
And he does say that there's a point at which he gets over the hump and decides that he's in.
Right.
So I don't think I was amiss in saying that I felt that Jeff was maybe not completely there, but we find out that he does get over the hump, quotation marks, and then he like.
Well, you were amiss in terms of your prediction.
I was. I think I was correct in my term of my in terms of my kind of analysis of where he was at that point in time, but definitely amiss in my prediction.
Fair enough.
So, which is good because I like Jeff and I want to see him in there.
Jeff.
I think he's an interesting contestant, and I want.
No, he's a great guy to have in the mix. I think we'll both agree on that. That we like having Jeff around. He's kind of a wild card, a little bit.
He's a wild card. He's different. He's cool.
Yeah.
So then there's that part, and then there's Brian's date, and I think that my favorite part of the whole season so far is when they're getting ready to go on the Ryan and Emily's one-on-one date. And they're sitting. Ryan and Emily are sitting on the couch, and Ryan's kind of throwing lines at her. He's like, "Oh, sugar, you don't even know," blah, 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 blah. Like just spitting out all these like ridiculous lines. And then after he leaves, all the guys just start laughing and make fun of him, and just like thrash on him pretty hard. That was like my favorite part of the.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they obviously edited it this way, but like they specifically edited a line where Ryan was like, "I made great friendships with the other guys. Like, we'll maintain those relationships." And the other guys are just like cheering and like, "We're so glad he's gone." Basically,
right? And then they roll away the bag and they're all like high five. They're like, "Yeah, boy." Right. Yeah, it's great.
So, I mean, it's the competitive aspect of the whole game, of the whole show, and those guys know that Ryan. Was a competitor. What you want to say, whatever you want to say about him, he was a competitor. He was a very good-looking guy. He had some charm, and the fact that he was gone that early is a good sign for every other guy that's in there.
And it's not just about that. I think Ari and Jeff in particular, they were like, and we've seen this before, we've talked about this before, they were of the mindset, like, if Emily cannot see through Ryan, if she can't see through, like, this act that he's putting on,
right,
and see that, you know, and you know what I mean? Like, if she, mm-hmm, if she's into this guy, then I don't trust her instincts. I don't, maybe she's not the girl that I thought she was. Maybe she's not the girl that I want to be with. And then, so, when she lets Ryan go, somebody, I think it's Jeff, or it's either Ari or Jeff says, like, I'm so proud of her for doing that. You know what I mean? Like, yep. it reaffirms in their mind that she is not only, like, smart and can see through that kind of stuff, but, like, that's also the girl that they want to be with. Like, right, a girl that doesn't fall for those antics.
Right.
Although Ryan almost gets her to
change her mind.
Change her mind. I mean, he's a gamer. Like, he's...
He knows... No, he definitely knows how to play the game. It kind of was reminiscent to me of last season with Courtney. And
definitely.
And okay, how much, like, all the other girls didn't want him to end... Ben to end up with Courtney. And I think...
Not even because they wanted to be with him, but just because Courtney was a bad person.
Right, and they were... But they would also make the argument that, like, if Ben was going to end up or wanted a girl like Courtney, then they didn't want to be with Ben. That didn't ever play out the way that they said it, but it's a legitimate argument, and I think that's the argument that the guys in this season are making, that if she wants to be with Ryan, then maybe they don't want to be with her.
Yeah, that's what I was just
realizing. No, right. And so I was just saying it's reminiscent of previous seasons where a lot of people make that argument. If this bachelor or this bachelorette is going to want to be with this person, then maybe I don't want to be with them. And I think this was one of those tests where Ryan was kind of the test. If she wants to be with Ryan, then maybe I don't want to be with her.
And she
sent Ryan away. So all these other guys, like a Jeff, an Ari, a Sean, are suddenly thinking, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me.
And Julian, as the viewer, did that make you like Emily more?
Yes, it did. I mean, if I were to be a neutral supporter of the show and just only want drama, then I would have said it would have been good for Ryan to stay around. However, if I truly want Emily to find the person that she's going to end up with for the rest of her life, then I would say that's the right move. That's the right move.
That's what we all do.
Yeah.
Right. And, no, I do. I think that she, I don't know. I think she's for real. Again, I think the show is for real. Like,
yeah.
I think that Emily is the real deal. Like, she's mature. I mean, I think she does, and I'm sure that she doesn't not enjoy being able to, you know, kind of physically connect with all these guys, but it's not like she's like this young girl that's like, yeah, I'm going to kiss all these dudes and like, oh, I'm going to keep this guy around because he's super hot. Like, she's really taking this seriously.
It seems Yeah, it seems to be.
And
the case.
I think that's reflected in the show. It's great. Yeah, I mean, like I feel better about Emily as a person because she kicked Ryan off and she was assertive about that. Even when he tried to get her to change her mind,
it really seemed like he was going to change her mind.
Yeah, I thought he was going to. I really did think he was going to. You know. I think that a lot of it had to do with his turquoise shoes. I think that she was on the edge, and the turquoise shoes kept him close. I think that's what made, you know, she kept saying, like, this is the first time I've second-guessed myself. I think it's because of the turquoise shoes. She was just like, these shoes are just so, so awesome. And his facial hair is just groomed so perfectly with Gillette's new Fusion Pro razor.
Didn't it really seem like it was like he was straight out of a Gillette commercial?
Right.
Like with Andre 3000
with
grooming
Andre
himself. Yeah.
And,
it was exactly like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Every piece of hair. Every piece of hair has to be on point, dog. Yeah. So anyway, so then we go to the trophy ceremony, or the rose ceremony. You know, it's just a standard time. I think they're really the only notable... I mean, we can say that she doesn't want to let anybody go, which I when she had a conflict, I really did think, and I'm usually not duped by these things, but I really did think she was going to let both Doug and Wolfman go.
Yeah, John. Really John slash really Wolf did. Go, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean...
Those were the two on the chopping block. I mean, no one's going to deny that.
Yeah, and because she had been so deliberate about letting people go that she knew she didn't want to be with, I was thinking, like, oh, man, like, she really is like, look, I see much more of a relationship with these other guys, so I'm ready to just let these two guys go and focus on this Final Four and just be in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we see Sean make some moves with, you know, I mean, I don't want to talk about his grandparents' funeral cards. You know, I don't want to make light of the seriousness of that situation. But, you know, he certainly showed her, whether that was intentional, well thought out, or whatever. But, you know, he showed her that he kind of has a serious, like, sentimental, emotional, romantic side, which is nice.
Yeah.
And then we have Humble Doug. Oh, Humble Doug.
Old, mature and Humble Doug.
He's been through so much.
The main thing is he's so mature.
He's just super.
He's a lot mature. Older than the other guys, so you gotta really respect what he says.
They haven't lived through what he's lived. You know what I mean?
No, they don't have a son. That's the main thing. They don't have a son.
That's the main thing. He misses his son a lot.
Austin, you guys don't know what it's like until you have a son.
And, but Emily pulls in Humble Doug, and she's like, look, Humble Doug, I want to see some of Confident Doug. And, I don't think we're ever going to see Confident Doug.
No, but, he's not going to win.
But it was nice of Emily to be like, look, Doug, like, you're a super nice guy. You should try to be a little bit more confident. I'm going to put your hand on my butt, and, like, try
put
to...
Put your hand up like, on my butt.
Yeah, she grabs his hand and puts it around. She's like, grabs his arm, puts it around her shoulder. She's like, come on, scooch on in here. And then he's like, oh, jeez, I don't know what to do. I'm
so old, I'm so mature, I have a kid. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, he's so mature, and yet he acts like he's 12 when he's around a girl. He's like, oh, I don't know. I was thinking that maybe if you weren't doing anything later, I mean, you know, if you want to, you don't have to. But
maybe we could go
to, like,
the homecoming dance.
You don't have to tell. You don't if you're not doing anything else. Anyway, Doug is an interesting character. So she doesn't cut anybody else. We got six. I think we clearly, and Emily even says, like, I mean, she's like, she's not really playing, although I do think it was a stunt that she acted like she was going to get rid of the two, and then Chris was like, hey, here's the extra rose you asked for. I think that was maybe, like, you know, an edited, or like, that was like a, you know, an editor's stunt that was kind of thrown in there. But she's like, look, I'm going to be honest with you, Doug and John are on the chopping block. And I was like, damn. She just, like, is taking all of the draw. Like, I'm sure the producers were like, shit. Like, Emily, you can't say stuff like that. Like, stop giving away all of the drama of the show. So,
I kind of took it the other way, where she was like, where she kind of was looking at everybody and... She was probably talking to Chris. She was probably talking to whoever the producers are involved. And she was saying, like, Doug, and honestly, guys, Doug and John both are on the chopping block. And they were like, nice, nice, good, good. Let's use this. Let's make it so you go out there and you don't know what you're doing. And then you come back out. And then I'm just standing there with some other girl.
When she's in the room with the pictures, this is when they have this conversation. They're like, all right, hang on, I got an idea. So you're out there, you leave, you talk to Chris Harrison, and then Chris comes in with the extra rose.
Yeah.
Golden.
TV gold.
TV gold. High five and go drink champagne in the other room. Yeah, it's like that. So that's the end of the episode. Speaking of producers, what about this teaser that Ari has had a relationship with one of the producers of the show?
Was that in the next episode?
I didn't watch next week. It's the girl.
I think
they set it up that it seems like it's the girl that Chris Harrison is talking to out there, which is maybe one of the reasons why they had the girl out there with Chris Harrison.
That brings up a whole lot of questions. If it's her.
First of all, I think that she's already picked Ari, and they're like, all right, we got to throw something in the mix so that people don't
think it's Ari.
So that there's a little bit of drama for the rest of the season.
Okay.
So they're like, all right, we're going to make up. Because here's the thing, like, how would he have a relationship with a producer?
Well,
like, did he have,
they only spend he have a, 1 week out of how many hours in a week are there? Right. And he spends 1 week with Emily.
It's not like he's got two girls going. It's not like he's got, like, the producer going on the side. And we didn't even talk about Ari slipping in after she cuts out Ryan and just being like, look, bold move again, strong. And not done, like, in a Courtney way. Like, he was like, look, I didn't love it.
I did not love it.
From a strategic standpoint or from your liking of Ari?
From a strategic standpoint, I thought it was good. From a bachelorette point of view, that's a good move. From a overall neutral point of view, I didn't love it. I thought it was kind of a low move to do that. Right after she kicks off Ryan. I didn't like it that much.
But I think the reason why I didn't... You're right. And I usually don't like it when guys do stuff like that, or contestants do stuff like that. But the reason why I like this is because I really think his intentions were exactly what he communicated. He was like, look, I just kind of want to spend some extra time with Emily, and like, I'm just going to go over there.
No, I don't think it was anything to do with wanting to spend extra time with Emily. I think it was trying to reinforce the fact that he wanted to be higher up than Ryan. And he won. He beat Ryan. If there was any kind of Ari-Ryan battle, Ari won.
I disagree. I think that... I don't disagree that there might have been a battle there, but I think that he really went over there and was like, the fact that you kicked off Ryan reinforces the fact that, like, I really think I know you. I really think I know that we belong together. I really... You know, and he did want to see her. Anyway, I think his intentions were pure. Whether or not you agree or disagree that it's fair play for a guy to go and do a lone move like that, I think that his intentions and you see them leave in their clothes that they came in with and stuff like that. And so, like, I was like, okay, this is kind of like legit. Like, I actually kind of think maybe this was like a purely, you know, kind of, like, nice time that they spent, like, talking to each other and, like, you know, kissing and whatever. So, anyway, what were we talking about?
What were we talking about?
So the producers. We got three options here. If Ari had dated the producer, one of the producers of the show.
Well, so, okay, Gray, do you want to enlighten me? Like, what exactly did you see?
Yeah, yeah. So
in a very like a, very short explanation.
Yeah, so they just I think the narrator just comes out and says, and next week we discover Ari's previous relationship with one of the producers of the show. And then it shows Emily and she's like, well, why wouldn't he tell me about it? Like, why wouldn't he come out and just be honest about it? And that's it, right? Okay. So I'm like, did he have a relationship with this girl during the casting process? Did he date her before? And that she then was like, hey, Ari, you're a great guy. You should come on the show. You know what I mean? Like, there are very few options that this is a legitimate thing that actually happened. There are very few circumstances in which this could have happened.
It doesn't seem like it's going to hold a lot of weight. There's no way I can see it holding a lot of weight going forward.
I just don't see it being true.
No.
I just don't see it. I mean, I don't see a situation where that actually happened.
No, it doesn't seem like it should. Right. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would hold a lot of weight.
Okay, folks, here's where we bridge the gap.
We're going to bridge the gap.
Everybody knows Navy by Nature is about excellent male commentary on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and pertinent sporting events. Sporting events that are significant to us. So, here's where we're going to bridge the gap.
We're getting ready to
talk about Euro 2012. Julian, I want you to tell me if each of these eight guys that were on the show this week were one of the Euro 2012 quarterfinalist teams, which one would they be? Now, let me just give you the list, okay?
Yeah.
So, we're talking about Ryan and Travis, who were kicked off. And then we're talking about guys that are still left.
Yeah.
That include Doug, Ari, Jeff, Chris, Wolfman Sean, or Wolfman John, and Sean.
Right.
And then, our quarterfinalist teams that we just found out today are Czech Republic, Portugal, Spain, France, Germany, Greece, England, and Italy.
Right.
So give me your list and your reasons.
Okay. I asked this kind of prior to our recording here. So there's eight guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, we had to have some prep time. I had to tell you about it.
Right. Well, there's eight teams, and we know that two guys are kicked off. So there's really six guys that are left here. Right.
Yeah. That's factually correct.
So are we taking this from the premise that these guys are or are not getting kicked off? It's eight.
I want you to equate each of the eight members of the episode. So we want to do eight.
We want to do eight. That's easier. That's easier, actually.
However you want to do it.
Okay. So, do we want to start from the top or the bottom?
I want you to just start. I want you to just give it to me.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna start from the top because that's the easiest.
It is.
So we're going to go from the best team versus the best Bachelorette contestant. And my best team in the Euro 2012, and I think that's very commonly accepted, is Germany. And I am going to put Germany.
Who is Germany?
Sean.
Okay.
I think you're being racist.
I think it's because he looks very Aryan.
I'm not going to deny the fact that Sean looks the most Aryan that you could possibly look. Right. Blonde hair, blue eyes. But he is also... I'm not going to deny it. But he is also very... He's solid. He is a front runner. There's no... Anyone who picks Sean to win... Everyone else is going to be like, that's probably a good pick. And I think that's the way it goes with Sean.
No one's going to think you're foolish.
Right. He's a solid front-running pick.
Okay. So Germany-Sean.
Germany-Sean. And then these two are going to bring up discussion, I think, with you, Gray. So my number two is Ari. And I think Ari is Spain.
Okay. Yeah, why do you think Ari is Spain?
Ari is Spain because he's a little bit prettier. He's not the most solid front runner pick, but he's a little bit prettier than Sean. And I think that's exactly the way Spain is versus Germany. Germany is the clear front runner in Euro 2012. Yet Ari / Spain is the pretty kind of beautiful game that goes with both pursuing a woman and also playing the sport of soccer or football.
Okay, all right.
And so I think Ari fits into that second spot.
Give me your third team.
Well, my third team was going to be Ryan. My third team was going to be Ryan, and Ryan was going to be Italy. Because Ryan was the team that no one really wanted to win the European Championships. However, no one could deny the fact that he had the ability to do it. What's that?
Italy was the least liked team of all these quarterfinalists?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Fair. I mean, I think so. I mean, if you want to go on Italy's history, they play very defensive. They dive a lot. They foul a lot. They win games on set pieces and win the game 1-0.
Historically. Do you think that's accurate of this Italian team playing in
No, but I don't think that their history goes away just because this team is a little bit different.
Okay. All right. So, and you're, so you're, You're judging them the Italian national team, not the Italian team that's playing in Europe.
I don't think you can separate the two.
I don't think you separate the two. I'm not going to make you.
I do agree that Italy is playing potentially a different style of soccer, but I think that Ryan really put forth the the best example of the Italian team, the best representation, really wants Ryan to win the Bachelorette, I don't think.
He did also look Italian.
That's probably true.
He was very confident, let's be honest. God put him on Earth for greater things. Greater things than this. So.
Maybe so.
In my experience, young Italian men are pretty confident in themselves.
Yes. And so, yeah, no, you're right. They are confident in themselves. So
continue on. Three down.
So three down. I would say Jeff would be the Portugal.
Okay.
He is also pretty. He is also pretty, just like the Portuguese are. They're very put together. Their player, if you want to even go to how manicured each player is on the Portuguese national team.
Jeff is a Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes. They care about their hair. They care about their tattoos. They care about every little piece of themselves. And to be honest, they still play a pretty attractive style of soccer.
They're intriguing. And
you don't know how well the Portuguese will do. However, you do think that they have a chance. And that's kind of the way you feel about Jeff.
Right. And little known fact, Cristiano Ronaldo is also the CEO of a recycled water, bottled water company as well.
So well, there's there you that. Go. Well, there you go.
Okay.
That's four. And so,
Here's who we got left. We got Travis, we got Doug, we got Chris, and we got the Wolfman.
Yeah.
And the teams that we have left are England, Greece, the Czechoslovakian Republic, and France. Okay.
Yeah. I'm about to turn it over to you, which may put you in a hard spot. But I will put John as Greece.
Okay.
That's my last confident shout in terms of the comparisons between the Bachelorette competitors and the Euro teams, because John is making a howl, he's making a shot as the Wolfman, but Greece is not gonna make it past the quarterfinals. There is no doubt in my mind.
Thomas, can we get some wolf sound effects for next episode? Sorry, go ahead.
There's not needed. Do you know why? Because John is not going to be there next week. Well, past next week, I should say. And Greece will not be there either. I mean, they are the worst team.
Germany.
Yeah. As much as I pulled for them going through the group stage because they had a lot of heart, they will not be there. Yeah. And that's how I feel about John. Well played, John. You got yourself this far. You howled as much as you could. You were the wolf, just as Greece did. But you are going to lose.
Okay, I think we got you.
So that's it.
All right, you got England, France, and Czech left.
Yeah.
And you've got Travis, Doug, and Chris. You don't even have these. You don't even. Have
I want you to start. Go ahead and take over here.
All right, fine. I'll take over because I got them all figured out.
Figured out, then I want you to take over here because this is where I start getting stumped.
For year three?
For those last three,
Mine from the top.
No, I feel great about everything that I've said thus far, but I do not feel great about anything that is being said in the future.
So there's one of mine that's... One of the people that is left is the team that you've already said. So here's a problem.
Just be you, and we'll go from there.
Here we go. So you have Doug left.
Yeah.
Humble Doug. Doug is England.
Wow.
Doug is England because Doug is self-deprecating. He doesn't believe in himself.
Okay.
It's the English fan base right?
Yeah.
They're just, oh, woe is England. The golden generation is gone. You know, we won't do well. We won't win. There's no way we'll win. But we'll cheer for our team, you know, because we're loyal.
Mm-hmm.
It's old, humble, self-deprecating England. And in the same manner in which Doug had, hey guys, you just don't know. You haven't been around as well. England, you guys just don't know soccer because we invented it. You guys just haven't been through. You don't have a kid. You don't have a child. You don't have a Premier League. Okay? You haven't been through as much. You haven't seen as much of soccer, the evolution. You just haven't lived as much. How can you know what it means to be a soccer team? So, anyway, Doug is England, okay?
I'll accept
Give
it.
Give me that. Accept it. Travis is the Czech Republic.
Okay.
Here's why. I could not care less about either of those two at all.
What? You couldn't care less about England?
No, about the Czech and Travis.
Okay.
Those are two, if I never heard anything about Travis again, I'd be fine. If I never heard anything about the Czech Republic again, I'd be fine.
Okay.
Okay, so those are my two, okay? All right, so now we're going to have some, now we're going to have some overlap, okay?
Okay, no, yeah.
So, I had... Okay, so let me start from the top. Okay, my front runner is Ari.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And the reason why is just because I think that he has a combination. First of all, I think Ari's done the best, and Germany was the only team to win all their games. They've shown the best. Okay, I think Ari is a complete contestant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he can show a lot of different. I think he has a lot of different skill sets. I think that he because he's sensitive, he's caring, but he's also a race car driver. He also wall kissed the crap out of Emily this week. All right,
he did a wall kiss her. Yeah,
and he went to her house, and you know, and that's bold. And so anyway, I think Ari plays a complete game, just like Germany. Now, I think Sean is Spain. So we've got these two crossed. Let me tell you why I think Sean is Spain. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Again, Sean is pretty. We can agree.
Yeah.
Sean is good. Sean is good looking.
Yes.
Okay. You know that Sean is capable of winning. You know that he can win. It's possible.
Yeah.
But you just haven't seen him put it together yet. You haven't seen him put together a clear effort that really shows. That, like, I mean, I haven't seen him connect with her emotionally, is what I'm saying, the same way that Ari has.
Yeah.
And so, like, you just haven't seen Spain click. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you know that when they do click, they easily can win. Unstoppable. I think that if Sean has that in him, the ability to connect with her emotionally on the same level that Ari already has, that he's right there. And that's the championship game. Right there. Okay? Alright? So that's why I have Sean as Spain. Okay.
So we both agree that it's going to be Ari and Sean.
Right. And my number three, Jeff, is Portugal.
Jeff.
Just like you said. Just like you said. Because for the same reasons. They're very particular about their looks. I think that they have intrigue. They have a attacking ability. Jeff has this some kind of hold over Emily where he's, you know, this, like, desirable guy. It's, like, kind of mysterious. Just like Portugal, you're like, man, they look really good sometimes. But you just don't know when they are put up against a Spain or a Germany. You just don't think they're going to win. You
right.
know what I mean? You think they're going to fall short. Okay? Right. So, we agree on Jeff. We switched on Ari and Sean.
Yeah, which is a big switch, I think.
Other one I agree with you on, I think the Wolfman is Greece. And here's the reason why. Okay?
Yeah.
I look at John Wolfe.
Okay.
And I say, how the hell are you still in this competition? And that's the same thing that I think when I look at the quarterfinal matchups and I see Greece right there.
Okay.
I think, how in God's name did you make it through your group?
Right.
That is the reason why the Wolfman is Greece.
And it's kind of like you, part of you, and I would understand a certain person to like want the underdog to get through, but most neutral people are going to be like, no, I mean, we don't want you here. No, we want the big dogs. We want the Aries. We want the Shawns.
No. I'm mad that the Wolf is still in it. Just like I'm mad that Greece made it through the group.
Yeah, I know you are.
It should have been somebody else. It should have been Russia. It should have been Poland.
I was fine. I mean, we discussed this as it happened, and I was fine with Greece getting through.
Greece cheated. Not literally cheated.
They got cheated against the Greek did. No. Yes.
They snuck their way in. Just like
the first game, they had a horrible red card against them, and then they missed a penalty kick to win that game.
Whatever. They
should have easily made it through.
They snuck their way in, just like Wolf snuck his way in with his grandparents' funeral cards. Okay?
No. I will agree that Greece is John, but if we want to go strictly soccer, Greece should be here. Greece should be here. They're going to lose tonight. No, don't get me wrong. They are going to lose.
No.
The next game.
I look at them and I say... You guys should have been. You shouldn't even qualified. John shouldn't have even been picked for the Bachelor. Greece shouldn't even qualified. Okay.
Well, they did qualify. You can't
I'm saying the look test.
Yeah. Okay.
The way I've seen them play soccer, there's no freaking way they should have qualified for this tournament. So
We'll end that conversation here.
Let me run it back. Ari. Germany. Sean.
Ari is Spain. Sean, Germany.
Okay, fine. Jeff, Portugal.
Yes. Okay.
Wolf is Greece and Doug is England. Okay?
I'm not sure. I mean, okay. I'm hesitant.
Let me finish my picks and then you can refute, okay? I'm just running down my list.
Yeah.
Okay?
Where do you put Chris?
Wolf is Greece. Doug is humble old England. Woe is me, England. Travis is the Czech Republic because I could really care less. I don't even know anything about. I don't want to know anything about. I do not care. Okay, so that leaves Ryan and Chris left. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I had Chris as Italy.
Yeah, that was my second choice. If we were playing the game, that Ryan was out of the game.
And I'm taking that. I'm not looking at Italy historically being diving and playing defensive and winning 1-0 set pieces. I'm looking at how Italy's played so far, and I think that they have some quality, but middle of the road quality.
Yeah.
Just like Italy, just like this Italian team does. Okay. Which leads me to have to pick Ryan as France, which I don't feel bad about because France has a strong attack. Okay. Just like Ryan does, he's strong on the offensive.
Yeah.
Okay? But when he gets asked questions, when he gets put on the defensive, he cracks.
Yeah.
And just like France, he crapped the bed today. Okay? France lost. Ryan lost.
Is it a crap okay? bed?
Done. So, Ari Germany, Sean Spain, Jeff Portugal, Chris Italy, and then I've got Ryan France, already gone, Travis is the Czechs. Doug, woe is me, England, and Chris is Italy, and John Wolfman is Greece.
If we were going to have to compare them, I mean, there's really no route for me to go than to say that England is Doug, as much as I hate Doug, and as much as I love England.
I know, I feel the same way. I really like England, and I really...
I mean, but if we were going to... I think the discussion is... most relevant towards the top of the groups. And I do think I will stick with Sean. I think Sean is much more of a Germany and Ari is much more of a Spain than you are making it out to be. And so I'm very adamantly disagreeing with you on that front. And then so once we get to the lower tiers, I mean, two of the guys are gone.
We both agree that Jeff is Portugal.
Jeff is Portugal.
Kind of after that, who do you think is the fourth team?
Spain, I mean, I guess Germany, I guess Portugal. England at Doug.
Italy?
England at Doug.
It's between Italy and England.
Yeah, but my Italy Isn't was it? Ryan, and I mean, okay, so are we saying this strictly soccer, or are we saying this trying to make it work between...
Strictly soccer.
Strictly soccer, Italy is my fourth. Italy is my fourth.
And England's five?
Yeah.
And for me, in my comparisons, Chris is Italy, and Doug is England. Which, okay, to be honest with you, I think is my 4-5. Honestly, I think that's my 4-5.
I don't know. So I don't know if I'm disagreeing with you.
I think my list of who I think is the best teams from 1 to 5 matches my list of who I think is most likely to win from 1 to 5 on The Bachelor.
And so, I mean, I'm not that different from you. I'm definitely different on 1 to 2. And then 4 and 5, I'm switched, right?
And 4 and 5, honestly, there's a little difference.
And of course, I would want all my picks to go to null and England win the whole thing. But I think England's the fifth best team out of the last 8. That's what I think.
Woe is me, fifth best team.
That's what I think. Maybe fourth. I think England and France.
But there's no way they're gonna win.
I wouldn't say no way. I mean, Greece won 8 years ago.
Poor old England.
8 years ago, Greece won the European Championship.
So there's a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, we'll see.
This is what I'm talking about. This is the woe is me England attitude. It's like, oh, I mean, like, there's a chance, but I don't know. I just don't think they can do it. Oh, I don't know. I don't think I had a good conversation with her.
I understand what you're saying. I just hate Doug so much that I just don't want anyone to be associated with Doug.
And I'm sorry. And I thought about that, and I thought about how offensive it was going to be to you to make Doug England. But it was...
It's the only choice you had.
It weighed higher in my mind how accurate of a comparison that was. Sorry.
Hey, no, fair enough. I understand why you picked it. I just hope that's not reality.
Let's leave The Bachelor alone.
Yeah.
Because we know which two are on the chopping board. There's not even any intrigue there.
No.
Group A. Okay?
Yeah.
The Czechs win it. Greece beats out Russia in the head-to-head.
Yeah.
I wanted Russia and Poland to go through.
Yeah.
So I was upset because I wanted Russia to go through because I thought they looked great. But then again, maybe they didn't look so great, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted Poland to go through because, you know, they're a host country. And that would have been a fun story. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So, but, you know, Greece did what they did. And they beat Russia 1-0. And the Czechs won, too. And so...
I wanted Greece and Poland to go through. To be honest with you, I felt like Greece did the job to the point where they should get through. I think they had some really harsh calls against them. The first game, I think they should have won that game. To draw that game against Poland was harsh. I think they should have won that game.
I'm not going to refute that.
And so that should have been 3 points for them instead of one. And the Russians, they got the easiest draw that they could have gotten in Euro 2012, and they did not get even 6 points. So that's on them. That is on Russia. If you don't get 6 points out of that group, then you don't deserve to get through.
You beat the team that wins the group, okay?
Yeah.
You tie the team that loses the group, all right?
Yeah.
And you lose to the team that goes in as the second, like... What? There's something fundamentally wrong there.
Russia got the best draw they could have gotten. It's on them. Like, I don't disagree with you that Russia probably talent-wise the best team out of that four. But they've got to get 6 points out of 3 games. There's no way about that. I mean, they've got to get 6 points.
Any way that Greece works their Greek voodoo magic against Germany.
No.
Beats him 1-0.
No.
Anyway.
No. No way.
No way.
No way.
No stinking way.
No way. I wouldn't bet any amount of money on it.
You wouldn't bet any amount of money?
Nope.
Okay. What
Germany's
about,
through.
What about the Czechs in Portugal?
Portugal. Wow, that's a closer game.
Give me a percentage chance that the Czech Republic wins.
40.
30?
40.
You think it's as high as 40, 60?
Yeah, yeah.
The Czech has some good attack.
The Czech has some good attack, yeah. So I say, I think Portugal wins 2-0 or 2-1. Okay. Something like that. I don't think it goes to overtime, but I think Portugal wins in regular time.
Group B, we've said, no surprise, that Germany wins. Portugal goes through second, which is fair. I think that's it should have been like that. And, I mean, Denmark had a chance, but... The Netherlands, I think they went down the path that I explicitly...
No, Gray, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to go ahead and name drop Gray Player here because he called this after game one and said that Netherlands, their confidence was broken and they were going to suffer and they were not going to get through the group. And he was 100% correct. They never recovered.
They didn't win a game.
As soon as that first goal was scored by Denmark, they never came back.
And the crazy thing was they were playing so well before that goal.
Yeah. You're right. That's what I mean.
And the way that goal happened was one of the Dutch defenders tried to clear the ball. It ricocheted off of one of the Danes right to a Danish player in the box. Mm-hmm. He beats one man and shoots it through the goalie's legs. Okay? It's like, it was just so stunning. And like, I mean, the Netherlands just did not have the intestinal fortitude to pull themselves back up after that happened.
Yeah.
And what I said was I saw that happen in that game and I hope that that didn't extend through the tournament.
Yeah.
But and honestly, when they got the first goal against Portugal,
mm-hmm.
I thought, or whoever they, no, Germany, they played Germany second, right?
Yeah, they played Germany second.
Yeah. When they got the first goal against Germany early on, I said, oh, they're back in it. Confidence-wise, mm-hmm. they're back in it. Germany was too strong, put them back down, and then they were just defeated. I mean, their body language, you could tell. They can't respond to adversity.
And there's always been whispers of just kind of the players on the Dutch side not getting along very well.
Really?
And so you always wonder if their chemistry is off.
Right.
I mean, that's historically been a problem with the Dutch team is that they always have a lot of talent and they don't ever play together as a national team. Yeah.
It was the striker that was held off of the national team for the World Cup. Who was it? It was,
off the national team?
Yeah. The coach didn't even put him on the national team. It was a great Dutch striker. We'll have to have somebody look. Jeff in Burbank will hit us back.
He wasn't going to play over Huntelaar or Van Persie. I don't understand why that's an issue.
No. It was a previous tournament a while back.
Van Nistelrooy?
Yeah, it might have been Ruben Nistelrooy. Wasn't he not put on the national team?
I don't think he necessarily was put on the team in the World Cup. That might have been.
Maybe like 2000. Maybe not even 2010 World Cup. Maybe 2006 World Cup.
He would have definitely been on the 2006 World Cup.
Anyway, it was like he was a great striker and he just wasn't even put on. Or he was on the team, but he never played. The coach never put him in.
It might have been Van Nistelrooy.
Anyway, Group C. Oh, geez. Hang on. Group C. Spain and Italy go through. No big surprises there.
No, that. Group C and D were as advertised.
The only real surprise of those groups is that France lost today.
The only real surprise is England got one and France got two.
And here's a crazy thing. I was walking by the break room. I couldn't watch the game. I was walking by the break room and just stopped just to watch the game because it was on TV in the break room. Just for 30 seconds. And I saw the England goal.
Yeah.
And it was great. That's great. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I saw they won 1-0. I was like, oh, great. I saw the goal. And then I looked at the French score, and I was like, holy crap, France lost 2-0 to a team that had already been eliminated from the tournament. It was just playing for, you know, pride. Yeah. And, you know, maybe France just didn't care, and they fancied their chance. I can't imagine they fancied their chances against Spain.
Yeah. I mean.
So.
Yeah. That's, I mean, so, I feel like that happens sometimes, that a team that has nothing to play for ends up playing so relaxed.
Lose, so, yeah, absolutely.
That they just, they don't care anymore. Yeah.
In any sport. So we see, I mean, any chance that, what's the France-Spain matchup like?
It's
intriguing.
It is intriguing. I see it being a very much, like, I don't see it a high-scoring game at all.
No, I don't either.
I see it a 1-0, you know, a 1-1 going into overtime, maybe. I mean, it's neither team. I mean, Spain had a lot of goals against Ireland, but that's completely
Ireland's
different.
Ireland's horrible, right.
Right. And so I don't think Spain has a lot of goals in them. France,
does,
it's hard to say. It's hard to say that they have a lot of goals in them. I mean, they might, but they're playing a similar system, really, to Spain. So I think it might just be both teams battling in the midfield and kind of, you know, who takes advantage.
Maybe you don't even see any quality scoring chances.
It's going to be one or two breakthrough chances, and who puts it away.
A cross skips over somebody's foot on the far post, or, like, you know, somebody hits the bar. And that's all you get the whole game.
Yeah.
And then you got overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a very, very tense game.
Cagey matchup.
And I would not be surprised to see France-Spain go into overtime and
maybe win
penalties.
PKs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Spain is going to feel a lot, even though they shouldn't, because they haven't played up to a standard, they are going to feel a lot of pressure, and I think that's going to hurt them in this game.
It's going to be interesting to see who Spain starts. If they go with a more traditional attacking lineup and put Torres, or if they go with what they started with De Bosque's initial philosophy and put Fabregas, who has scored in both games. Or what? Did he score in all three? No, he assisted in the third game. He was the one who assisted the one goal in the third game and scored in the two games before that.
Sure.
So if they're gonna start Fabregas, which, you know, there's a good argument that they should, but
yeah, and then I mean, if you're England, would you prefer? I mean, do you like, you know, common wisdom or just intuitive, you know, like, the feeling in your heart tells you that you'd prefer a matchup against Italy, but would you really prefer a matchup against Italy, or would you prefer to play kind of a Spanish team that's a little flustered?
No, you always pick Italy over Spain.
Yeah.
Well, in the last 10 years, you do. Spain has so much talent on the field, you don't want to have to try and match up with them tactically.
Yeah,
so.
Your defense has to be on its toes the whole time.
Concentrate 100%. Oh, any slip up defensively, and Spain scores a goal. So, no, you still Italy is good, and I said this last week that I think Italy is a sleeper to run through the tournament, and, you know, even potentially get into the finals.
We said France was too.
Yeah, and so I think they're both sleepers.
I feel less confident about that after they lost to Sweden today, but
I would put Italy above France, but France has enough firepower where they could certainly get through. If they score goals, I mean, they're the type of team that could win like a 3-2 game. Italy is the type of team that's so good defensively where they can easily, you know, shut a team down and win a 1-0 game against anybody. So, Spain has so much talent on the field. England is going to rather play Italy than Spain. I would rather play most anybody than Spain. That's just the way it is, because they're going to hold the ball so much, and they have so much talent. No one wants to play Spain. No one wants to play Spain.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, there's just always a chance that, like, if you're playing the Spanish team, like, that they find that magic formula. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they've been, like, trying all these things. It's like, man, what if they really, like, find that perfect formula and just blow the doors off, and then it's like, oh crap, here comes Spain. So I guess you're right. I mean, like, if you're England, you definitely rather play Italy.
Yeah.
Do you think the Italy England game?
Yeah,
it's got to be a one goal game. Has to be.
It seems like it would be. England honestly is defending as well as anybody. I mean, every team. I mean, Nasri's goal against England is the one goal that they've let in. And it was a shot from outside the box where Nasri did a good job kind of fooling the team on where he was going with the ball and put it in near post. And I just don't, I mean, that's the type of goal that that's going to require.
And there was a player, and first of all, Gerard comes out and he sticks his leg out to block the shot far post, and he's also shielding Joe Hart from getting a clean look at the ball. So, I mean, right. Like, there's a lot of things that went right for that shot.
Right, and you're right. So my point is that it was a tough goal to score, and that's the kind of shot that you would accept as a defense. You know, like, that's the type of shot that you want the other team to have to settle for.
Right.
You're
fine with that goal. You're fine with it.
Right. I mean, I don't think that means that the defense did anything wrong, is my point.
Is that the only goal they let up?
Yeah.
So that's a good place to be.
And, I mean, everything else...
Germany gave up a goal against the Netherlands, so I don't think there's anybody else that hasn't given up a goal. Has given up less than one goal.
No.
Germany might have only given up one goal.
Yeah.
Spain... I don't know. Spain has the best goal differential at +5. But, so we'll not talk about the semifinal matchups because we'll have another podcast before the semifinal matchups. Let's talk about the quarterfinal matchups. Just wrap it up.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Which game? Germany and Greece has got to be the biggest goal differential.
You mean just in terms of. Positive goal differential.
It's 3-0. You know what I mean?
I mean, so regardless of goal differential, Germany beats Greece. I mean.
Yeah, but I'm saying, which game is a blowout? If there is a blowout.
Yeah, no, of course. If you're asking which game is a blowout, then yeah, Germany, Greece, definitely.
Do you think Spain-France has the potential to be a blowout? You think Spain?
No.
No, you think that one's close, for sure.
I don't think it's a blowout at all.
I think we've agreed that the other three are close.
I agree. I mean, that's how Euro is supposed to be.
Yeah,
I mean, the European teams are good at soccer, and when you make it, 16 teams to start the tournament, and then you put 8 of them make the quarterfinals, those 8 teams, all of them are pretty good.
Yeah, except
I mean, there's maybe a Greece, that slips through, and maybe that's the team that you say, yeah, Germany beats them easily. Mainly. But every other game, I mean, the quarterfinals of the European Championships, I mean, normally, this is real soccer. Yeah.
How many games go into overtime and potentially PK?
It could be the all three. It could be the rest
all three of the other
ones. It could be all three. I mean, England and Italy are going to both defend.
Do you think
I think it's almost smart to bet on that game going into overtime.
I was going to say, which one, if you have to pick one, most likely to go into PKs?
England-Italy.
And England has historically had bad luck in PKs.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to pick one team to lose in penalties, you pick England.
If you want to pick one game to go into penalties, you pick that game. So I feel that's your pick.
So Italy gets through on penalties is what we're both deciding here.
Okay. So...
Yeah. So England, Italy is probably going to penalties.
As much as you hate to say it, you think Italy goes through on that one.
Wow. I mean, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and be a Doug. I'm going to be a Doug right now. And I'm going to say that Italy beats England in penalties. Yeah, in the quarterfinal game. Okay. That would fit with history. It would. Don't make it Gerard. Come on, don't give it to him.
Who else? Rue, the Rooster.
Yeah, Rooney. Gerard. Rooney makes it Gerard. I want to miss it?
Ashley Young.
Make Milner miss it.
I like Milner.
Yeah, but he's someone that doesn't have a lot invested thus far.
Didn't he play the ball in that Rooney scored on today?
No, it was Gerard.
Gerard was from the from the right wing.
Yeah,
sick touch around the guy.
Yeah, no, he was beautiful.
He did a
scissor and then touched it around and played it in.
He didn't even touch it to the right. He touched it physically around his body.
And then it ended up deflecting off 3 guys, and then Rooney headed it in.
The rooster's just on the back post, just waiting.
He knew where to be. He knew where to be.
Okay, we got Germany going through. They're playing Italy.
Okay. No. Yes, no, Germany's yes. playing Greece. What are you talking about? Semifinals?
Semifinals.
So we picked Italy to beat England already?
You just did. You just did.
All right.
Yeah, as much as we hate it, and we'd both be very happy to see England go through.
Of course. Okay, so let's. If we're going to be realistic, Italy. Yeah, we have Germany, Italy.
And then do you see a border rivalry, Spain-Portugal?
Oh, man, how good of semifinal is this?
If it was, this is my ideal semifinal. Spain, Portugal, Germany, England. That's my ideal semifinal.
It'd be beautiful. It would be.
Because there's the potential for the Spain-Portugal game to be wide open. And the Germany-Italy game is a perfect foil to that. It's going to be just physical.
Here's the thing. Who does Spain start in the quarterfinal?
Or in the semifinal.
Or quarter or semifinal. Do they go the Torres route, or they go back to the seven midfielders Fabregas, or whatever they played and put Fabregas in center forward?
11. 10 midfielders in a goalie.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, Fabregas did you see the second game where he just, the fourth goal, where he just ripped the goal, he just ripped the shot, and he was just basically like, F you, everybody who didn't put me in the game. I deserve to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a top 10 midfielder in the world, and he's not getting into the team right now.
He's a midfielder. He's a midfielder.
Right, but he's from the wrong country. He's from the wrong country. Because they literally have probably 6 or 7 midfielders that are top 10 midfielders in the world.
If David Villa plays, does Spain just crush everyone?
Well, No.
You think it's a close game against Germany in the final?
Yeah. I don't think David Villa is the X factor.
I do, because it's the extra touch. It's the extra touch around in the great. Like,
I don't think so. I don't think people talk so much about David Villa. I don't think he's the X factor.
But even if he's not scoring, he's making a run that opens up space for other people. Like,
maybe
he's always,
it's the subtleties of the game.
Active. He's always active.
It's the subtleties of the game that any of us, even those who do appreciate and love soccer, cannot completely understand. And maybe you're right. Maybe David Villa puts in those types of runs that open up the Spanish game to an extent
what,
that we don't know.
That's what I tell. I play Torres, and that's what I tell Torres. I play Fabregas, too. I play Torres, and I say, if I ever see you standing still, you're coming out of the game. I don't care where you are on the 18-yard box. Run in a different direction. Because you're just causing confusion, opening up space, and that's the great Spanish, like, oh, now he's got the ball, someone's running in behind him, just like the David Silva goal, little quick touch through, you know, and that's how Spain scores. That's how they play. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Spanish are the best, really, at playing
the
ball.
When they're in their game, they're the best.
They don't have a number 9 in form, as the commentators would say.
In form, correct. Okay, so we've got the border war, Spain-Portugal, and we've got Germany-Italy. And that's another great game. Because this Italian team wouldn't make that as defensive of a game. That game would be a little bit more open than if it was 2010 World Cup.
It depends who scores first. If it stays 0-0, Italy is going to be in their own goal. If Germany scores first, if Germany gets a cheeky goal, then Italy is going to have to play the game, and that's going to be a great game.
I somewhat disagree, because even when Italy was playing Spain, when it was 1-1, Italy was on their front foot the whole time.
You're right. So they were playing a little bit different.
What I'm saying is that Germany-Italy game, if it comes to fruition, is more wide open than a Germany-Italy game in the last Euro.
Yeah.
So that I think would be a good game, and Spain-Portugal would be a good game. So
I mean, I think what we're getting at is one of the beautiful things about the European Championship is, I mean, the European teams are among the best, and when you start talking about quarterfinals, even you start talking about quarterfinal round, I mean, you've got six of the eight teams
six good teams
You have, yeah, not even good teams. I mean, you have world-class teams.
Sure. Here. Yeah. And so it's, but France, and England are the two teams that are the two of the six that we're leaving out in this, in our predictions here of the semifinals. Those are two, and they've played great.
Right. Right. I mean, and the World Cup, because of the way that England has done everything they were supposed to do.
Yeah, they played, I was going to say, they played great within themselves.
Yep.
Perfect within themselves.
I agree. And the pressure is a little bit off this year because no one is even talking. I mean, me and you, I'm an England supporter.
Certainly not the English fans.
Certainly not the English fans. But even, right.
A whole lot of Dougs. Got a whole lot of Dougs.
But, it, I mean, even English, even in other years, English fans will have this weird paradox of wanting their team to be the best and also hating their team at the same time. And this year, they're not, they're still hating their team as much as always, except they're not expecting their team to win the tournament.
As much. Same,
right. There's and so there's, there's not as much expectation.
There's, well, it's never an expectation to win.
No, I think it is a lot of the time.
I think it's always like there's a possibility, like the like belief. There's a little bit of belief that it could happen. Not an expectation for it to happen, but a, they believe that it can happen. Like, oh man, we can win this thing.
Yeah.
There's a little bit less of that this year.
There is a little bit less. I mean, and normally a very ruckus English support, I think they've been fairly quieted this European Championship. Normally one of the loudest support groups, I feel like they've been subdued.
Stifled.
Yeah. Yeah, and just a quick shout out. I know, Gray, you have to go. The Irish support, they have been amazing.
Yeah.
Did you watch any Ireland game?
Fun
they fun. They were going to lose every game, and their crowd was loud, cheering, even when they were down. No matter what, the Irish support was singing. They were just happy to be there. They were just happy to be there.
Happy to be out of their country that's just in complete shambles, economic shambles right now.
Yeah.
Now I hear you. All right, so we got Portugal, Spain, and we got Germany.
Germany, Italy. Yep.
And with England losing in PKs to Italy.
Yep. I'm going to be a Doug. It's not what I want. But I'm going to be a Doug.
Realistically. And honestly, I don't think you're being a Doug because I don't think that you're selling England short. I think that realistically that's a likely result. I mean, that's well, we talked about it. Like, I mean, if there's a team that's going to lose in PKs, it's going to be England. If there's a game that's going to go into PKs, it's going to be that game.
Yep. You're right.
So it's not like it's unfounded, just like negativity from you.
I mean, I don't remember like the stats, but like England's penalty kick results historically are just honestly
so like miserable.
Really miserable. Like maybe one in seven, one in six, one in seven, like something like that. It's really, really bad.
Give me your, you're announcing the game. Give me your Andy Milner misses his PK.
James Milner. What?
You're the commentator for the game. In PKs, James Milner comes up to the spot and he kicks it over the goal. Give me your commentary.
Like, where do you want me to start?
Let's start with him coming up, placing the ball, and then shooting.
And here we go. James Milner stepping up to the spot the fourth. Taker for England. This is imperative that Milner makes this shot. Stepping up. Oh no! England is out of the tournament! Milner shot it over the bar! It's over! It is over for England! James Milner has ruined it! He has ruined it for England! England is out of the European Championship! Is that right?
Nice. I think you only missed one. Is this that Milner will be hung in effigy for the rest of English football history? Other than that, I think it was spot on. I loved it. Yeah. All right. Well, let's, you know what? That's all I got. You got anything else?
I do not.
Got some good UNC football news yesterday. Two 2014 commitments.
I saw that. And that Florida guy came. You see that? Yeah. But he was supposed to come anyways.
To Fedora's Freak Show. Which is the name of
You saw my email recently?
Yeah. Folks, if you're not following at UNC FB Video, then you're not living life the right way. The way that it should be lived.
It's a change in kind of a vibe and focus for UNC football. Very different from a Butch Davis focus, but I think it's great in its own way. I think
it's more appropriate for college football.
I think so too. I mean, I think Butch Davis attracted players in a different way, but I think Fedora is attracting truly this college football vibe of this fun energy, spread offense, high octane, as our AD wanted to bring in. I mean, I think it fits the mold. I think a lot of guys are going to come. I think we're going to be, I honestly think we're going to be good at football.
I think we're going to be good. I think we're going to be good, and then I think we're going to be great in 3, 4, 5 years.
I agree.
And I think Fedora stays. I don't think he leaves.
I don't think so either. I think this is his spot for a while. This is where Fedora.
Not even for a while. He could stay for his career.
No, I agree. I think we got Fedora right at the spot in his career where he'd made enough of a splash to where he had made himself, you know, a legitimate football coach. We grabbed him, and this is the place where he really makes himself, you know, known for the long term.
Well, we both certainly hope so.
We definitely do.
Well, Julian, it's been a pleasure.
Always is.
It always is. I hope everyone that's still with us has enjoyed it. And you know what? We'll see you right back here next week, same time, same place, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And keep an ear open for us.